You're listening to Binging the Devil's Fruit, a One Piece manga read-through podcast where sometimes during the binge, we take a break, kick back, and put on a movie or TV special. And sometimes, we even bring along friends. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Binging the Devil's Fruit. I am your host, John Mugiwara JM.
And I'm Chad Peanut.
And today, we're joined by not one, but two guests for our review of One Piece, the movie, for Dead End Adventure. Trash Queen and King.
Hi!
How you doing, One Piece land, or whoever's watching, you know?
Pirates. How are you doing, yeah. Pirates?
I don't think we have a name for our fans yet.
Call them the Straw Hats. I don't know.
Yeah, because I host this on my Let's Play channel. It's like, oh, this goes up every Sunday while we have Let's Plays too. So I don't know what to do in this scenario because I came up with this podcast after Austin did one with his other friend.
Call them the J-M&Ms, you know?
J-M&Ms, there you go.
I'd be down with that, but it reminds me of M&Ms and I don't like chocolate. Oh. So I was like, good idea. But I'm like, you know what? I'll give it a thought. So, fun fact, Trash Queen and King were the very first guests who ever agreed to be on the channel when I put out a tweet saying, hey, does anybody want a guest on our podcast at one point? You guys were the very first people to respond. And I was like, great, we'll find a place for you. And then I was just like, wait, when should I have a guest? And then I had the thought later to do the movie reviews. I'm like, you know what? I'll have them on in the movie review. And then we've already had a couple of guests already. And I felt really bad. I'm like, you know what? Let me shoot them a message. We're about to do another movie review. I have no guests lined up. Why don't I call the very first people I had, say yes, and then here we are.
Yep.
It's all good. Like, I'm pretty bad with, like, reaching out to guests, too. I probably need to do, like, a little bit more, like, after this, probably.
Yeah, no, we're terrible about reaching out. So, you know, I had no problems with them. Like, you know, my whole thing is I'll reach out, I'll shoot my shot. When we figure out a way to collaborate, we come together.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. I just wanted to make sure it's like, hey, I don't want you guys to think I'm ghosting you, like, and that you see these other people in the podcast. Like, that's just how schedules are lined up. So I said, you know what? Yeah. I will commit to having you guys on the next one, and promise kept. So,
yes, and it's, you know, we're all a bunch of adults here, and, you know, all of us have lives, we have jobs, you know, we have, like, other obligations, so it's like, you know, getting people together, it's very much a, we will get this done, we will get it together, it's just a matter of, you know, when, and we will figure it out somehow.
Yeah, because for those of you that are familiar with Super Bonus Round, one series that we'd like to do is, like, we have me, Austin, and Rich together, but it's like, with having the planets aligned to try and get Austin off on a Sunday, which is when usually he and I are free. But then when that happens, like, okay, go time. We do whatever our three-man game is. So I totally understand that.
Yeah.
So before we talk about the movie we're going to review, this may be a little bit longer intro, but I'm fine with that with guests here. So before we get into our discussion about Dead End Adventure, why don't you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves and about how you guys got into One Piece? I am vaguely aware of how you guys got into it because I've been following you guys on Twitter and Tumblr for like years, but feel free to tell the audience.
Tumblr, damn, that was a while ago. First off, do you want to begin?
Yeah, like, so obviously I've heard of One Piece, you know, like I remember like, actually I think the first time I heard of One Piece, just like people, you know, complaining about the four kids in it, you know, showing the picture of like, you know, the, Sanji holding a cigarette and another person like, and then another screenshot of like him holding a lollipop, you know, but like I actually never got into One Piece, you know, it seemed like too big, you know, and too long. That's what she said. But, around 2018 or so, I started to watch it. I got to, Skypiea, which is like kind of a cliche, like, you know, like a way to get filtered, I guess. But, I think at the time, like we were like in Japan traveling. I actually got to go to the One Piece Tokyo Tower in 2018. That was kind of cool because that place like closed down because of COVID.
I'm jealous because it's gone now. That was like my number one, like whenever I eventually go to Japan, that was like my number one stop. It's gone now.
Hopefully they build a new theme park at some point. I'm surprised they haven't yet already.
With the series about to end soon, I mean, it makes sense to do another one.
But yeah, kind of like after that, we kind of like put it off for like many years. And I think like one day, spur of the moment, we're like, we're going to try reading the manga in like, you know, 3 months and some change later.
I know the exact pinpoint moment. So we were coming back from ColossalCon, Texas. Like, it was like Thanksgiving weekend, like short, like the week before Thanksgiving, and like I see Trash Kangle reading something, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm reading One Piece," or maybe it was he saw me reading it, and I was like, "I'm reading One Piece." He's like, "Oh," so then he started reading One Piece. So pretty much, like I think like we just, one of us just got inspired to go like read it one day, and then after that, you know, one thing led to another, and 3 months later, we caught up.
Yeah, because like we just read like, you know, like one like volume a day, you know. It didn't take too long.
Yeah, a volume a day takes like 20-30 minutes, and mm-hmm. I read like all okay, all right. I locked in as soon as I got to Whole Cake Island, and I read that entire arc in a day. Don't ask how, don't ask why, but like I started at 1 o'clock and I read it like and I was like it like glued to my couch till like 9, 10 p.m. and I looked at him and I'm like, "Babe, I just read the entire Whole Cake Island arc in a day," and he's like, "Wow."
Yeah, and like anime wise, we kind of like started watching again from like Wano, and like have continued watching it. Like at some point, I wouldn't mind like watching like in between, you know, like Skypiea and like you know Wano, because like there's a lot of stuff I want to see like anime and whatnot. But like, yeah, for now I'm like pretty satisfied. As for the movies, like we've seen like some movies here and there. Like obviously we saw a film read in theaters. We saw like Heart of Gold and Gold. We've seen like I forgot the name of that one movie where like Luffy outright kills a guy.
Then there was Stampede. There was the one where Luffy just kills a dude. It's one of the older ones.
Yeah, like
That's the we actually reviewed that as our first review. That was the OVA Defeat the Pirate Gonzok, where he Gonzok the villain. He's like he literally launches a nuke at like this town, but Luffy picks him up and throws him into it.
We've seen that one, but like I was thinking about the other movie, like the one that came out like 2005 has like a bad CG forest in it at one point.
Dark. That might be the next one we do, movie 5.
Yeah.
I've watched all except for the weird Chopper one where it's like an alternate universe where like they didn't recruit Chopper until after Frankie and Robin. And that's the one where the crying Chopper meme came from. Like nice. That's like the one I haven't seen, because I was just like, why would I want to see a weird retelling of that? Even if Frankie's in it, who gives a shit? But yeah, like, for the purpose of this podcast, we'll get there eventually.
But yeah, like, the movies, even though like obviously I'm kind of iffy on these anime movies, because like most of them are like non-canon shit, but like I don't know. I like the One Piece movies because like they kind of get a little weird and experimental and kind of like, you know, do some interesting shit half the time, and like not only that, being kind of like headcanon as like you know, these are like legends of the Straw Hats. These are like, you know, like stories people are telling that may or may not be true, you know.
Yeah,
like that way I see it.
I'll go one step further. These are lies that Usopp is telling. Yeah, I view these the non-canon movies up until Oda started writing them as like, these are like all the ideas for Devil Fruits and Pirates that Oda's like, no, I'm not using these, feel free.
B-roll footage.
Yeah, because like they almost definitely had to go to Oda and it's like, hey, you don't have plans for somebody with a Devil Fruit where like it's activated by him yelling or him turning into candy, right? It's like, no, you can use that one.
you gotta get the green light. Yeah, it's all his rejected ideas.
Yeah, that's whenever I watch these movies, like I'm like, I'm the candy man. I was like, oh yeah, that's too stupid for Oda, I guess.
I'm the candy man.
And I use that example for a reason, because we're going to be reviewing Dead End Adventure, and I haven't seen any of these movies sans the ones like the ones that Crunchyroll/Funimation started dubbing recently. Yeah. Like, but like the ones from 1 through 7 that never got dubbed, I haven't seen them since I was in high school. And for context, I'm 34.
I haven't seen them either. Like,
yeah, no, I've never seen those either.
And, that's a lot. You're like older than I am.
Not only am I excited to review them with you guys, I'm excited because I remember Dead End Adventure being one of the two from the pre They Finally Came to America era that I actually liked. And this is actually a fun fact before we start. This is the first of the films that was this was the last film, sorry, that was transferred to 35mm film before they were all done on digital. So they stopped doing traditional animation, I think, in the first or second one, and then all digital, but it still looks like it's a traditional animated movie because it's on 35mm film. So from here on, it'll be interesting to see how this one looks. But I'm excited. So,
me too, man.
And also, don't forget, if you want to join along with us and watch it, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/superbonusground. we have a free trial for 7 days if you're curious and you just want to watch this one or check out our other ones. And also, you get episodes about a week before they go out because this is a bi-weekly podcast. So the other week that episode doesn't go out, you'll get an episode early. So I think without further ado, Austin, did you have anything to add before we start?
No. Let's do this.
Hell yes. Woo! Let's get into it, guys.
Let's do it.
And that was One Piece, the movie for Dead End Adventure. Ooh. That was pretty dang good.
Yeah. That was pretty
good. Especially compared to the last three we did, which were double billed with Digimon movies and felt like extended filler episodes. That was pretty solid. Like, it's not the best One Piece movie I've seen, but it's in the top five, I'll give it, maybe.
Yeah, like, I know film red, in my opinion, but, like, it's pretty up there. Especially early one.
For the early ones, that was good.
All right, Austin, did you want to give like a brief summary before we get into our categories?
Okay, yeah, so the film starts off with the Straw Hat, the Go and Mary, losing some marine ships. And they've been told that more pirate ships are gathering, allegedly for that and a infamous event. And which leads us to a really, really lengthy first person travel through some computer animated town.
Where, like, we said earlier, the film budget probably went to that whole scene.
Yeah, with the frame rate for that, it felt almost like a pre-rendered PS1 cutscene almost.
And you know what? I didn't say this when we were watching. It felt like the intro to Medieval when they're going through Xerox Castle and he's about to cast a spell. I'm like, oh, that's what this feels like.
Yeah, that's what that I get. Yeah, I see that.
And we see the Straw Hats in a bar where, of course, Luffy is picking out, and Nami's complaining about how they barely have any money left. But she notices a man just tips a bartender 200 berry coins.
You did miss one very important part, though. Nami's not the first person to complain about the money. Luffy is. He's like, you guys are spending too much money, and then they kick the shit out of him. It's like, it all goes towards feeding you.
Yeah,
probably one of the funniest lines in the entire movie.
Yeah, so after going through a lengthy, Nami manages to talk the bartender into Orlandamon into whatever's going on, and after going through a lengthy binding of Isaac chamber, they enter this grand and bar almost. Oh, so that's also like a shipyard almost in ground.
Yeah, don't you know it's just like the Yakuza games. It's like there's a secret underground underneath a secret underground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Nico Robin recognizes it's the Dead End Race, a really dangerous pirate ship race where the winner can get up to 300 million berry. Hey.
And they're broke, and, so they need the money, so they enter.
Yeah. And what I finally noticed is that when Luffy wants to join, Nami says they haven't decided yet because it's too dangerous. But she immediately changes her attitude once she hears the prize money.
Yep.
So they register, and Luffy, it being Luffy, of course, pisses off a bounty hunter by the name of
Shiraiya.
Oh, I probably butchered this.
Shiraiya
Buskud.
Shiraiya Buskud, I think.
Biscuit.
I think there already is a One Piece character named Biscuit, so I don't think we can do that.
And also ends up getting into a fight with the favorite twin, Gaspare, and his crew. Oh, and one thing that was hilarious is that you guys picked up on was still in the fight, and he says, Luffy, where are you going? I'm going to a fight. Okay, just don't get lost.
Make good choices. Be home by 10.
Yep.
And yeah, Gaspare, he boasts about how Luffy's just a little runt. And the next morning, No, wait.
So don't forget the fight that was, like, if you haven't seen this movie before, just go look up the Golden Corral brawl from a couple of years ago. You'll basically get the same experience. Only better animated than no one actually got hurt.
Oh, yeah, that also reminds me. There's this boy and his grandpa on Gaspare's ship booking the front the boiler.
Yeah, because apparently it's a steam powered paddle boat with something else we'll mention in a little bit.
Yes.
And the kid is desperate to get his father off, grandpa off the ship episode because he's really, really sick.
Yeah.
And being around all that coal and fire is like really doing damage to his lungs.
So Gasparde offers the kid a chance and that if he can kill some pirates is for him. So the next day all the ships go out and it was really damn. Oh yeah, I forgot. They were all damaging each other in a race. Like it's anything goes. So everyone's attacking each other too.
Yeah. So picture the reverse mountain scene where they were all going up the hill and then down. But like imagine that in like race form, like a bunch of different pirate ships were going up, and then at one point they basically Queen and King pointed out. It's basically Splash Mountain where there's a big drop at the end, and this one front the. Puts Splash Mountain's drop to shame because it's just a flat drop off of a waterfall.
Yep.
And like one thing that caught me off guard was that Nico Robin manages to get the ship in the right direction by just forming a bunch of hands into one big hand to put into the right direction. Like you said, she never done that before,
and she never does it again either.
Nope.
Oh God, it was so stupid.
Yeah, like we said in I don't think we even put it in our intro. Like I think, or maybe we did. Like these movies are where the Oda's the ideas that Oda that he thinks are even too stupid for him go.
Yeah,
listen, like, I want to see the giant hands. Maybe he should come back to that.
I actually would, to be honest with you, I actually wouldn't mind that because she does something similar with her hands later on. You'll see Austin, but I see it having some uses.
So yeah. So tries to assess the damage of the ship. He finds that boy who's stolen away, named Anaguma, who tries to kill him for the bounty. But when he tries to pop Luffy, he's just shocked and even more shocked about Chopper being a talking reindeer
and didn't call him a raccoon like everybody else does. That's what I was trying to say in the commentary. I'm like, Chopper, give him credit. He didn't think you were a raccoon. He came close. It was just one word off. He's like, oh, it's a deer. No, I'm a reindeer. That's still close.
Yeah. And so even then, the Anaguma saying that you might as well kill me, and Nami almost fucking does it.
Yeah,
like, she
takes like high offense to because like, you know, not Nami and Sanji grew up with that terrible childhoods, as did most of the Straw Hats, and she doesn't.
Yep.
She takes like heavy resentment to like anybody giving up as early, because like they've been where those kids are at and they survived, and they don't want anybody else to feel the same way.
Yep. So, yeah.
Oh, did you guys have anything you wanted to add, guys?
Not so far.
No, not so far.
Okay, feel free to interject if you do have anything to add.
Cool.
Yeah, I usually let Austin do the summary because he does this on his podcast too.
Oh, that's fair.
And then we'll get your guys' take on it once we basically summarize the movie.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Okay, so Austin, there was one thing you did forget. So Gaspard proved why he's like the one to beat because his ship has a giant drill in it. It's the drill that'll pierce the heavens, and also everybody else's ships.
Rah rah, fight the power!
Rah rah, get the hell out of the way of that thing!
So yeah, after a brief fight with this other ship in a race, and a bunch of fucking sea beasts, which you said, sea kings they're called. Well, you said they were the exact same ones from when they first entered the Grand End Line.
Yeah, remember when they first went to the Calm Belt and they were on like the head of like a bunch of sea kings? That's the Not only were it the same ones, they were drawn in the exact same pose. So like we said about the budget, we went to that one tracking shot, and then the rest of it, well, you see.
It went to that one shot, and then that one shot of Nami at the bar when she leans over. That's where the entire budget went.
And I'll thank them for it. I'm not ashamed to admit.
Okay, and let's see what was. Oh yeah, and that's when they, after escaping, Robin begins and realizes that the log post is a fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that they got from the Yakuza boss looking guy.
Yep.
Who entered them in the race. Like the bookie.
Yeah, he was basically the person to talk to enter the contest, and he the one who told them about the prize money.
And Luffy realizes that Kasparte was the one who rigged the race, and they track him down after getting through this marine stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was that name? Like Chapu, was the guy's name?
Yeah.
Oh wait, it just dawned on me where I've heard the name Chapu before. Final Fantasy X. I'm playing right now. I forgot about that. Chapu, Waka's dead brother, rigged the race.
On Gaspar's ship, Soraya, the bounty hunter, tries to attack Gaspar, but has to compete against Needles. That guy with the blades.
Yeah, I don't know why the wiki says he's Needles. Needles is a fine enough name. Mm-hmm. Even though he has like a couple of claws, like the villain from Aladdin, King of Thieves.
Yeah, and we found out Gaspar isn't after. I mean, so Araya isn't after Gaspar because of his bounty, but because of revenge. Because
he was responsible for the death of his sister, who I think it was me who coined it. It was there's a joke among the One Piece fandom that Kuina, Zoro's dead childhood friend, is down the stairs. She
down the stairs.
Then Shirai's sister is down the river.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Going down the river.
To defeat Needles, Gaspar, however, ate the Ame fruit, which makes his entire body like candy syrup.
Yeah, he's a high fructose corn syrup man,
and apparently it tastes terrible.
Okay,
yeah, just ask Luffy.
Out of all the filler movies so far, that's gotta be the dumbest as death of food power.
Wow, really? That says a lot considering. God, what were the other ones? Like there was like the girl who could like who could turn into liquid, like the one that had her ass hanging out in the beginning of the movie. Well, didn't she got like the turn into water, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Has it been that long?
Oh, yeah, the lady who was bathing nude.
Yeah. She had like her ass hanging out of the water. That is why I remember her. Only because of that shot.
Well, at least she got some good shots, at least. More than I can say about Gaspar.
Yeah, well, because that was the crazy. That's the interesting thing about his power. He turns to like jelly candy, but he can also harden himself too, like, you know, hard candy. And that's about it.
Yep.
He's basically just a gooey crocodile. With half the charisma.
Yeah, with half the coolness. And kind of looks more like Jack Horner.
Yeah, he looks like Jack Horner and Andre Richardson from Yakuza 3.
Yep.
Yeah, but before Gaspar can finish him off, Luffy manages to reach him.
Mm-hmm.
But Soraya is still hell bent on finishing on killing Gaspar, so Luffy knocks him out so he doesn't get himself killed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Onaguma tries to get his grandpa to leave, but insists on staying in because he has one last thing to do.
Yep.
Blow up the ship.
Blow mm-hmm. that ship up.
So, as the fight goes on, Luffy's attack doesn't do anything because they either stick. Keeps sticking into him.
Yeah.
He gets his hand caught in the kendasi.
Yep. And Gaspar, keeps boasting about how he's more powerful and why he did was because he was simply bored, which is his only motivation.
I got bored.
And by giving him a fake wayfinder. Oh no! Wait, what was fuck?
Eternal poses.
Eternal pose. Yeah.
Yeah, he gave fake eternal poses out for fun.
Yep.
Well, I'm like, my question about that is like, not that you were giving out fake ones, but how did you make them in the first place? Now I've got more questions than I'm going to get answers to. You don't also you cannot move on without remembering that Luffy, like the Queen actually pointed out, I was like, he's made of candy. Why doesn't Luffy just eat him? And then not even a second later, Luffy tries to devour him. And you think that would work? No. He apparently tastes awful.
The most bitter, disgusting candy you could think of.
And when Luffy's hat goes off, Gaspar decides to piss him off by just stabbing it.
Yep, just slices it up.
Yep.
Slices it up into Nerd's rope.
makes Luffy so pissed that he manages to get a hit on Cuspide somehow. No explanation why.
Willpower and determination.
Able to do it.
Don't destroy his hat.
And goes down and he does steal his bags of flour and tries to convince the grandpa to go. Mm-hmm. But instead, the grandpa insists on staying instead. So Sanji gives a bags of flour to Luffy and tells him to meet up when he's done. Because not only is the ship about to blow, but there's an oncoming cyclone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And during the fight, well, even though Gaspari manages to stab Luffy, which gets flour on him, Luffy manages to hit him. That's when he realizes the flour hardens him.
Somehow.
So he can...
It's basically Crocodile 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of blood, it's flour.
They had to put it out fast.
And so he manages to hit him multiple times and just hits him right into the fucking cyclone.
Yeah, he did. He gum bazookas him. Like, you know how like most anime villains like will do the little twinkle in the air? Like, no, you see him stop and then the cyclone like takes him immediately. I nearly died right
there. That came pretty close to the fucking nuke.
Yeah, that came pretty close to being funnier than, yes, the nuke in Defeat the Pirate Gonzok, where the villain launched a nuke and then Luffy just tosses him into it instead.
I'm just imagining like in Twister where that asshole got sucked into a Twister and it just tossed him into his car to the ground and exploded.
When I saw that, I immediately thought, you guys have all played, well, Austin, I know you were on the playthrough with me. You guys have played Legend of Zelda with the Wind Waker. I was picturing the frog god with him.
And he sent it to the last thing he heard before he died.
Yeah, and he gets sent to the Mother and Child Isles.
So, yeah. But Luffy collapses from exhaustion and passes out, but Enigma's grandpa and Shiraiya managed to rescue him, where they head to a nearby island where they found out Enigma was actually adopted and her real name is Adele Biscuit.
Yeah, it turns out she was down the river all along.
Down the river.
Done.
So Oshio is happily reunited with her.
Yeah.
And
They were implying that Enigma was a boy, but she was really a girl. Just wearing like had a hat covering her hair and everything.
Yeah.
So right before they can reach the end of the race, they're encountered by the Marines again and have to let the group go while they make a quick getaway.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Nami's the only one who's pissed off about not being able to collect the prize money.
Yeah, Luffy's giving all the motivational speech. It's like, it's like, towards the Grand Line. She's like, I fucking hate it here.
And that's the end.
So, yeah. Why don't we let our guests go give their take on the movie first. What'd you guys think?
You want to go first?
You go first.
Okay, so I really enjoyed it. I've seen a few of these movies, and honestly, this was definitely, of the older ones, probably the most enjoyable. And like, it's because they had a little bit longer to cook. Like, you know, usually these were like, as we said in the commentary, they were, you know, the first three were like put together with like the Digimon movies. So like, you know, you kind of like a double feature going on, but it means, you know, as well, like quality is just kind of, it's basically a longer episode.
Yep.
And but this definitely, you know, it gives, you know, the Straw Hats time to, you know, kind of like develop and, you know, there's a story here and, you know, you care a little more about the characters a lot. And, you know, like the fight scenes are just, they're better. They're not like these 5 minute little like skirmish. Like, I wouldn't even call them fights sometimes. They almost feel like skirmishes with how quickly they end.
Yeah, we got the Golden Corral battle.
Like, actually, the final battle was like really like pretty well animated for the time, you know? Like, and I was kind of like wondering how he's going to beat him. And just like the launch at the end, it's like, oh yeah, epic.
Yeah, no, like I really like that last battle.
Yeah, it was epic, and they threw in a little bit of comedy at the end. Like he gets launched, but before he disappears, he just slowly gets sucked in.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that. Like, I really enjoyed, I honestly enjoy most of the fights, you know, even the Golden Corral fight, you know, that was a good one. I like that. I like the fight where they were on top of the boat and, you know, like the lifeboat, and they were just fighting on that. That was a cool and kind of, you know, like unique sort of fight that they had going on.
Yeah, that was like that's like something you see in like a classic pirate movie in Hollywood, like them fighting on a lifeboat as it's dangling over the side of the ship.
And, like, one thing I actually did go and like, which, you know, maybe this is where the animation budget also went, was the faces. Like, like, the faces were really good. Obviously, like, to avoid spoilers, there's a certain face in Skypiea that, you know, gets memed on a lot throughout future arcs and, you know, different, you know, parts. So it's like, you know, kind of seeing, you know, that kind of almost building up to it is kind of nice. There's one, like, Nami face that was really funny. It's the one with her and the teeth. Yeah. I like that one.
Oh, yeah. Anytime that she has, like, shark teeth, it's always great. A good time.
Yep. I like Shark Teeth Nami. As someone who, you know, is caught up with everything and, you know, like mostly sees everybody, you know, time skip and whatnot, you know, you got, you know, Chopper, as I like to call him, yesified Chopper. And, you know, the girls are definitely a lot, you know, kind of more softer, you know, Zoro, you know, puts on like 10 inches on his chest because, you know, he's got the second biggest chest in the Grand Line.
Damn straight.
Second biggest next to Bo Hancock. But, you know, it's kind of like going back to, you know, them like pre-time skip. It's like, man, I miss these guys. I miss the designs. I like, you know, Robin's, you know, design, especially, you know, like that, like in between Alabasta and, you know, like all that, you know, she kind of still has a little bit, you know, like kind of, you know, sultry mystery to her. And the outfits were really good. I like the outfits a lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to buttress off of what Queen said, I'm a little biased as much as I love the direction the One Piece anime is taking now in the current arc, but like I have a soft spot for the era from the very beginning to like just before Enies Lobby Water 7, because I think there was like one series director for that whole time, and like his direction for the show is like my personal favorite. Like the way he directed the characters to be drawn is like, for me, that was like the peak of One Piece. Like I'm nostalgic for that for the most. One, so I totally get where she's coming from, because like this was that amped up to the T, where they went crazy, but they utilized that style before like middle through Enies Lobby up to like Marineford, where the style got like really, really loose and limited. Well, not a big fan of that era.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of how I feel with it. And like, you know, there's a lot of people going get, you know, people get on the post time skip designs, but I always enjoyed them. But it's always nice just kind of going back and seeing everyone kind of, you know, a little more like sharply drawn, you know, it's a little rougher around the edges, but also kind of also a little bit flatter, which isn't a bad thing because they make it work.
It's just kind of fun seeing like a series that's been going on for like 25 plus years and see how the animations evolve, especially during a time where it's like, you know, when they started it was like, you know, still hand drawn, then it was like, you know, more digital, then it was like HD, you know.
Yeah, they were using painted cells to like, I think up to the Bratier arc, because like I saw on eBay like you can find cells of like the episodes from the Sur Village arc. Those are, but I saw those like years ago, so they're probably all gone now. But like,
yeah,
they
probably cost ridiculous amount of money to get.
If I found one for a reasonable price, I can't say I wouldn't buy one.
Yeah, same.
Like if there's if there is a cell of Nami leaning over the counter with her ass out, right. I might go bankrupt for that one.
I mean, valid. As someone who definitely has I have a whole little like binder. I don't have a ton of cells, but I have a few of them.
Yeah,
I would like hang it up in like my in like the living room or something. I don't care. I don't care who judges.
Frame the piece.
I would love a pillow that was shaped like Zoro's chest.
Well, your birthday's coming up in a few months, so writing that down.
Appreciate it.
All right. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add?
Did you want to add anything? I kind of.
I will say the whole like racing like sequence didn't really seem to go anywhere.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that.
They abandoned that so cool. That's why I'm glad they didn't call it the Dead End Race. They called it the Dead End Adventure, because if it was the Dead End Race, that would be a big disappointment.
Yeah, no. That race literally was like, it was so secondary to that, which I would say is probably the one complaint, is I feel like they kind of had like a good plot going on, and I feel that race was just kind of tacked on because they needed a. they needed something that was a little bit, you know, I guess they needed like a, oh, hey, here's how the Straw Hats get here. You know, I'm sure they could have thought of a different way or a different, you know, sort of like means of going about it. But like that definitely kind of, you know, fizzled out about halfway through and no one cared about that part.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That's why I'm thankful they didn't call it Dead End Race. Like it was a, well, that race definitely hit a dead end, I'd say.
Oh,
got him.
That's probably why they named it that.
Oh,
all right. Did you guys have anything else to add? Or
trying to think here.
I'm trying to think. We kind of cover all the bases. I like the humor in this one.
Yeah, this one was like, definitely one of the funnier ones.
Yeah, it was funnier than.
Yeah, I know that, you know, obviously, like, you know, localization and some of the subs were a little funky wonky, but like this one definitely was like pretty funny. You know, they kind of, you know, mixed in the humor, not to the point where it was like only humor, but they, you know, peppered it in to like kind of like, you know, make some of the scenes a little more lighthearted and for it to go along.
Yeah, but that's when One Piece is its strongest. So that's why it's like seasoning to like a steak, not like
exactly
not like a big dessert over basically nothing.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel. So overall, I enjoyed it like a lot. Like, you know, to me, it's no Film Gold. It's no Stampede. It's no. Yeah,
it's definitely film not Red. Film Red. But what he and I will get to that in our like 250th episode or something.
Yeah, y'all get there eventually. But
I have an exact roadmap for how we're getting there.
Oh geez. Oh yeah, you got Romance in the Grand Line, aka that movie.
Yeah, so. I have exactly how many which chapters, what movies, and when that we're doing. To get to Egghead, we're going to take like 270 episodes.
Dang. Well, you guys will get there.
Yeah,
we're going to get there.
This is 48, so we're starting Jaya right after this episode. So,
oh, fun.
Yep. Ooh. All right. So, if you guys are have added your review, Austin, you'll go next. I'll go last since I'm the host.
Okay. So, what's going on?
Thoughts on the movie overall before we get to our categories.
Well, the animation was standard at first of your typical One Piece episode, because clearly the budget went into all that CG animation, but the humor was at least better, and the story was somewhat more interesting this time around. I mean, it's nothing like the One Piece films you had me watch before we saw this podcast, not by a long shot, but...
Yeah, I think the only movie you've seen, I think, is Zed, and I think maybe we watched Stampede.
Like Stampede, yeah.
Yeah, you and I saw Zed when it premiered at Otakon back in 2012.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't even seen it yet by that point. But if it's out of your mind, that's fine. We'll be reviewing it in, like, episode 112.
But it's a step up from the movies we watched so far, especially with how rushed they felt.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The Chopper movie, the last one we did, that one was awful.
Yeah, that was the worst one we've viewed so far.
Yeah, not even a guy trying to eat like dinosaur horns with like ketchup and mustard would save that movie. I'm not making that up, by the way. There's a villain who literally cuts off like the horns of like animals and like puts ketchup and mustard on them and eats them.
Okay.
That movie sucks.
I'm going to have to watch it because it sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, so continue.
No, but it was a step up from the last films, but... far from the best.
Yeah, it's definitely. I'll just summarize. You guys basically—that took the words out of my mouth. Basically, like in terms of scale and stakes, this is definitely higher than the last three. Good balance of humor. Like, I really liked the fight choreography, and this was really, really good.
Yeah,
it's bad. Like we call it the Golden Corral fight. It's the fight in the. the underground bar, which was really awesome. Even the fight between Shiraiya and like Needles, his underlings, was actually pretty well choreographed. And like when the hits hit, you felt them.
And that music was so good.
Yeah, there's a reason they pull these tracks in the anime. Like from now on, they just steal the soundtracks from the movies and keep using them in the show.
Good.
The one they steal from the most is Seven. Like when you eventually watch movie 7, you're like, oh yeah, that's where all these fucking songs came from. But yeah, I out of the four we've watched so far, this was the best one. I think that's about all I can say before we get to our categories and our final thoughts. So why don't we hop on over to our categories and our first one, and I'm gonna let our guests go first. Who was the MVP, or as it's known on this podcast, most valuable pirate?
Well, like, It's hard to not go and say Luffy because Luffy, that's cheating. I feel Luffy is cheating, so we're taking Luffy out of it.
That's like the Luigi wins by doing nothing award.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, of course Luffy is going to, you know, fight the big bad at the end. He always does. I'm trying to think, like, you know who was actually pretty useful? Chopper and Robin. So these two get sidelined a lot later on in the series. Like, someone said a good, basically Luffy, Zoro, Sanji take on the big bads and everybody else handles the rest, which is unfortunately what it's so egregious in Wano, where it's like, you know, you got all the really hype fights with those three. And then, you know, you got like Nami and Usopp, you know, getting their ass kicked by like a job, by like basically one step above a jobber at one point. I'm not going to say the fight, obviously, for spoiler reasons, but, like, I want to say, like, you know, outside of Luffy, like, Chopper did a lot, Sanji did a lot, Zoro did a lot. Those three are kind of the three that we're kind of, you know, here with. And
yeah, like, Zoro, like, you know, he kept carrying the kid, you know, he, like, fought. So, like, I don't know, maybe Zoro.
I was going to say Zoro. Like, out of the three, it's between Zoro and Chopper, because, like, Chopper did some good stuff, and Zoro did some good stuff. So, like, I'm going to go with Zoro on this one.
Honestly, all the era Straw Hat has felt like the backup crew in this one. It's like,
yeah,
it kind of feels like, you know, like, you know, Goku and the rest of them are like, you know, Krill. The rest of them are like, the, you know, the other characters where it's like, they're just
there. They're just wait till Goku gets here. They're the opener for the opening act.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So you guys are going Zoro.
Yeah,
we're going Zoro.
All right, Austin, they picked your husband, so you have to pick somebody else.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to go with Sanji.
Oh.
Mainly because towards the end, he came up with the idea of dousing, what was his name again?
Gaspard,
in flour, which is what helped Luffy win the fight against him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention that fight on the ship. They would just find a bunch of guys on his ship.
And I mean,
on top of a sea king.
And I mean, also as well, like, he was cooking food and taking care of the crew while they were all doing, you know, like the other extra stuff to kind of, you know, add humor and lightheartedness to the scene. So I mean, he was doing stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I'm gonna pick a rare one because I really need her to win. Actually, you know what, I'm swimming in my head right now. I'm either gonna pick Nami because she was the one who thought entering the race anyway, because they needed the money, and she was the one who came up with the idea of remembering to have Luffy use the gum gum balloon to alter their trajectory down the mountain again. That being said, this is her first film, and she had her ear to the ground on everything that was going on around her. I'm gonna pick Robin.
Oh.
Robin she had all the info, and she's the one who literally stuck her arm out, or arms in this case, for everybody, or else they would have, the Going Merry would have broken and they all would have drowned.
Yeah.
So congrats, Robin. Your first movie, you get your first MVP award from me.
Woo.
All right. So who was the least valuable pirate?
Okay.
I know my answer, but I'll let you guys go first.
What do you think?
I just don't remember Nami doing anything.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to be honest. Nami.
Oh, I was going to say Nami.
Nami.
You haven't got her stick yet, you know. She doesn't, like, she ain't a fighter.
She's got a streak of the least valuable pirate. My wife needs to win something. Come on, wife.
Okay. Come on, right. Do something.
And I guess it's my turn now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, since Nami is basically out. Let me see. What was the name? I'm gonna go with Anaguma.
Oh, it feels like cheating to have like the token child go, but okay.
Yeah. Hey, the kid didn't really do much.
I mean, you could do that, or you could do the mafia guy, the Chapo, right?
Chapo. Well, I mean, do you give the award to the villains? I wonder. I think I designed with this with the Straw Hats in mind, but it's your call.
Let me guess. I guess so.
Yeah, the Straw Hats really
between either Chopper or Usopp.
If you pick Usopp, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Okay, I'll choose Chopper then.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, he was basically on the sidelines this film.
He was just the Build-A-Bear they were carrying around. And also, he was in a little high chair.
He had funny scenes, though.
Yeah, he had some funny scenes, but he was just us, the doctor, basically, this time around, instead of getting into a fight.
He was the mascot to keep the children entertained, the smaller ones.
Ah.
You know, like, that's how the mascot characters usually are, except, you know, they're usually worse in, like, American cartoon films.
Okay, now it's your turn, John. Who was the most...
Usopp kind of did fucking nothing. Like, yeah, you can say that Nami didn't do much, but she's the one who entered them in the tournament. She's the one who had some of the ideas about how to, like, survive the downfall. I just mostly saw Usopp complain.
Again, Usopp's like the Shaggy. He's like,
well, he hit that one guy in the face of the nectarine, or tangerine, I should say.
Well, using your logic, he was funny, but he didn't do much. Like, yes, humor's great, but it only gets you so far moving the plot forward.
Yep.
Okay, so now here's where we might really start fighting each other. What was the best scene? And our guests are going again first. What was the best scene in the movie?
Ooh, best scene. Listen, is it cheating to just go and say the Gaspar and Luffy fight? Because honestly, I just really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that fight, but I also enjoyed the Golden Corral fight a lot. What do you think?
Oh, no.
What's the best fight? Or best scene?
Best scene. Let me think here. Yeah, it's just like, any, like, you know, barroom brawl. So, like, definitely the Golden Crowd fight for sure. Obviously, like, the bazooka at the end was, like, definitely one of the best scenes. Let me think here.
I like that one a lot. I'm going to say the final fight. I know that's kind of cheating, but that was really good.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
So, it's my turn now, right? Oh, you guys choose the final fight. So, my favorite scene... This was more like a... Okay, so... basically, it wasn't the bar fight itself, but rather that one scene in the bar fight where Nami's saying, Luffy, where are you going? I'm gonna go to fight. Okay, just don't get lost.
That was my scene. That was mine!
that was also a good one.
Finally!
That was also a good one.
Like, yes. that was right out of you. That was the funniest scene in the entire movie.
Daddy was just boasting about how he stole your uncle's favorite scene.
Oh, did you spook Buddy?
I heard him meowing.
Aw. Baby. Oh.
So you gotta choose a scene, John.
The Golden Corral fight.
Okay.
Serious answer. That was actually a really good fight scene, and there were a lot of one-take shots and, like, tracking animation shots. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff I kind of like in animated movies, where, like, it's one thing that'll turn me off of an action movie, animated or live action, is cuts every time you blink. If you're cutting, like, every 5 fucking seconds, I'm out.
It's like a bad cut video from YouTube.
That's why I got into the John Wick movies, because I heard that they don't do that. But also, like, the Netflix Daredevil show, like, they made it, like, a point to, like, every, like, season to do, like, a fight scene that was done in one single shot, no cuts, no nothing. And that made me really appreciate just consistent, easy to focus on action. And that, as much as we memed on it being a Golden Corral fight, it was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, the best part of it, honestly, which will go to my favorite scene, when they were fighting on a loose lifeboat elevator.
That was a good scene.
So that's my pick. As much as I want to go with the humorous scene, I'm going to go for the one that I thought was actually really good. All right. I'm having trouble with this one, actually. What was the worst scene?
Ooh.
I got one if you let me go first.
Go ahead.
When Nico Robin formed a bunch of like little hands to form one big hand.
You picked it as the worst,
he
really?
Picks the hand.
I mean, it was stupid.
The villain's made of candy. The villain is made of candy, and that's where you draw the line.
I mean, I don't even know what the limit is.
He did not
wipe
the hands. He was not feeling it.
I mean, I don't even know what the limit is on how many hands you can even produce.
There actually is a funny joke where she uses a similar move in a later portion of the series. You guys probably remember it. But there is a limit, and she clearly broke it.
Yep. She made too many hands.
All right. Well, Austin, Austin, why don't you guys go next? I'm still thinking about what I want to pick.
I don't know. I would say I can't even go on like say like anything with the kid because all those scenes were important. Is there a bad scene? There wasn't anything bad.
No, there wasn't anything where we gonna go, but like, I guess maybe some scenes like. I don't know. Maybe there was like something seemed to drag down for a little bit, but I can't really think of anything too much. It's
yeah,
like,
that's the thing. Is that like the biggest thing is that some of the scenes dragged on a little bit, but that's not. I don't even like contend for like worst.
Yeah, like.
All right, I gave it some thought. I got my worst scene.
Cool.
I actually did. I thought that tracking shot at the beginning was weird. technically impressive. Like technically impressive, but the characters were mostly stationary.
Like, that's kind of weird.
I'm going to be honest. That beginning part with the Marines, like, I understand why they are there, but that one kind of felt a little bit draggy, not going to lie.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the side D burn jokes that King made, I would never remember them.
Yeah, honestly, like, those guys did not do anything. They just chased him at first and chased him at the end. So I would say that probably is the one scene that, you know, okay, if we threw that out, there would be very little, like, change.
I was expecting when they, like, launched Gaspard at the end, like, he'd, like, land in one of the ships and be, like, knocked out and the Marines would capture him or whatever, but, like, that never happened. Like, Gaspard is probably fucking dead. It's like,
yeah, we actually kill a guy. Him in the Cyclone is just too funny to not be anything else. I actually would have been disappointed with it. I think him going to a Cyclone never be heard from again is way too funny.
Especially in the ocean sink.
Yeah, especially when you put that up with Ganzak being thrown into a nuke. Which is weird because he makes cameo appearances in later movies anyway.
Oh fuck, I should have done the Cyclone as my favorite scene. Oh.
Too late now.
Whoa, I forgot about that. Oh.
You had to go and stick down it to me stairs. In that. This is what you get for thinking about sticking it to me more than actually thinking about picking a good one. All right, I'm going to renege them to these next two categories, best fight, worst fight, because I don't think there was a bad fight in this movie at all.
There was not a bad fight.
Yeah, I might even retire these two categories, because I thought the fights in this movie were solid.
I feel like we also kind of, you know, like, beat the dead horse of the Golden Corral fight.
Maybe
and
only have, like, a
fight.
Category like that if there's, like, actually a bad fight. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say maybe if there's, like... just fights that are just like maybe if the entire like movie is primarily fights and you know there's like one that just really stands out.
I think I might keep this category for the next movie because I remember really hating the next film. I really don't like the one after this one.
I forget what the one after this one is.
The Curse of the Sacred Sword.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's weird. When you hear what the plot is, you're like, oh, that's fucking dumb.
it's
Austin, it's our next one. I'm warning you.
Oh, no.
And we'll probably be getting to it soon because I think it's in the middle of Skypiea when they release that one.
Also, like, we're talking about the scene where Nami grabs a sword. It's like fucking like badass and funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, don't fuck with her, man.
All right. So we're going to drop best fight because I can't even think of a bad fight. Even the one between the henchman and Shiraiya was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So best fight, worst fight, save it for the next film. So the next one is review the villainy of the villain. How good of a villain was Gaspard?
I liked him. Like, he ain't bad. Like, he's basically Crocodile too. He basically kind of feels like Crocodile.
Yeah, kind of like Saturday morning, kind of like villain of the week. It's like, he's pretty cool, but like, honestly, like, you know, not the most memorable design ever.
Yeah, he looks like Jack Horner and that dude from Yakuza.
because he looks like other people. The only way we remember
him. Yeah, that's
the
only thing I remember
about
him.
Forget
like,
about him in a week, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, like, he's forgettable. Like, I don't like think he's like, you know, like terrible. I just think he's painfully average.
Yeah, he's like good for movie villain, but you know, not the
forget
yeah,
him. But I'm like, gonna wake off it on tomorrow morning.
if you put him up against, you know, like obviously like Crocodile and you know the villain in Skypiea. Obviously, I'm not spoiling it, but like if you put him up even against those two, like he's like definitely like jobber level. So like you know, he ain't worth it.
Okay,
he ain't really interesting.
Austin, how about you?
My turn. Yeah, his main motivation was just that he was bored and obsessed with power, and his devil fruit power was pretty dumb, even by a One Piece filler status.
yeah.
Candy, it's like...
I'm going to have to give him a Billy Mitchell for Tanya Harding. instead of doing a 1-5, I just do that bit for the villains.
Yeah.
I feel like the writers were like, okay, what should the villains, like, the old fruit power be? And they see, like, somebody, you know, like, chewing on some candy. It's like, I got it.
Yeah, he's... Like, I like the conceit behind them mimicking how he defeats Crocodile, but beyond that, he is really unmemorable. His motivations kind of... His motivation could be applied to literally any mid-arc enemy that Luffy fights.
Yeah, he feels like a mid-arc villain. Like, he doesn't actually feel like a bad guy.
Yeah, he's just an asshole.
Yeah, he's just an asshole.
Yeah, and...
Marine turned pirate, also daring today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, former Marine turned pirate. There's a better version of that in another movie, so by default, he sucks.
Yep. similar to Crocodile's hairstyle. Even the wiki's like, oh, yeah, this guy's just similar to Crocodile. This is literally just, like, Tenmu Crocodile with, like, Saturday morning cartoon fucking, you know, like, reasonings for what he does.
This isn't Crocodile. This is my own original character, Alligator. Yeah, I'm going to give him... a not as full bag of chips out of 5. Like, you know, when you get a big bag of chips and then you open it up, there's like, wait, why is there so much air in this? That's what he is. Does that rating make sense?
Yeah, no,
but
that makes sense.
I don't have a rule for that. All right, so this one might be a bit of an easy one for King, Queen, and I, but maybe not so much for Austin. Rate the opening and ending. I'm going to go first. Perfect 10, Bumpin' Chicken slaps.
Yeah. that was set. That was fine. That was solid, you know. That
it's a Bumpkin Chicken song.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like, it's not super memorable, but I will listen to it again because I love that band.
Yeah.
Perfect 10, just on principle.
I give it 7 chicken nuggets out of like a 10 piece.
Yeah. It's a bump nuggets. Down, but hey.
Yes. It's a bump down.
Yeah, I was trying really hard with that one abandoned bit. Austin, how about you?
I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 eggs from a chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we come to our final category, the fruit score, where there is no rule for this. You can come up whatever score you want, where you give your absolute final thoughts on the film and then rate it however you wish. Doesn't matter to me one bit. And once more, our guest will go first.
What do you think? Would you like to go first? The double fruit score. It could be an arbitrary number. It could be, you know, like a rating.
Yeah, like rate the rate the villain's devil fruit.
No, like rate the entire thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, remember that score, that rating that Austin gave the villain. Come up with just your final thoughts on the film, and then rate it however you want in any way you want.
Yeah, overall, it's a pretty solid film. I give it like 3 Musketeers out of 4.
Five.
Back to the candy puns.
Out of a take five.
Yeah, there we go.
There
you go.
Years
out of a take five. Thank
hey,
you for
there you go. And I can hear Austin that. Cringing now.
I have the same answer, but also I give it a 1 Golden Corral. I give it a 7 Golden Corral adventures out of 10. I don't know. I can't think of anything any funnier. His was better.
It's fine. Okay, so that's your guys' answer. Austin, you're next. I'll go last.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It was pretty good, but far from the best One Piece film. Because the ones you had me saw before you started this podcast, it blew this one out of the water.
Yeah.
But it's still a step up from the ones we reviewed so far on this podcast, which is really saying a lot.
Yeah.
So it's a fun little time waster.
Yeah.
That's all I'll rank it as.
Okay. Yeah, I basically echo your guys' thoughts. Like, there are better One Piece films out there, but out of the early set, I think this is one of the strongest. Not the best one out of the early set, because the one I'm thinking of is 2 movies from now, and I'm kind of biased because Mamoru Hosoda directed it. But yeah, this like this definitely felt like the step in the right direction after no longer being double billed with Digimon. The last one that was on 35mm, so it still had that early 2000s, late 90s anime film vibe to it, which I really dig. The villain's power is stupid, but the stakes were really not all that great, even though the whole premise is like, oh, we're in this race because we're broke. Funny, but not something I'd want to watch again outside of the purposes of this podcast. So I'm going to give it 3 Mr. Good Bars out of 5 nerds or something. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, it's like a solid 3. Like, if we're actually being serious, it's like a solid 3. Like, it's like
out of 5, it's like a 3. Out of 10, it's like a 5.5, maybe.
Or the stakes were not that high, just, or the stakes were not that great, just like how they aren't that great in Golden Krail.
Oh.
And I think that is where we will cap off this review. Thank you guys again so much for listening to this episode of Binge of the Devil's Root. And before we go, Queen and King, this is your chance to plug. First of all, let me thank you guys for joining this. This has been an absolute blast. I loved having you on.
We would love
to have you on again anytime.
Sure.
Before you go, though, feel free to plug whatever you guys like. Where can everybody find you?
You go. You do it.
Definitely check us out on YouTube, like Trash Queen and King. We stream like several times every week. We're kind of like a variety streamer. We're currently playing like, you know, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Rebirth. We're playing some Skies of Arcadia right now, some Rise of Two, you know, like
we're kind of locked into RPGs and we're trying to finish one so we can play something else besides RPGs. But we're the RPG streamers right now, but I swear we're actually variety streamers.
Go follow
Girl,
us
same.
On,
I, on Twitter. I'm basically RPG locked into myself. I get it.
Trash King 01, Trash Queen 01, you know, Trash King underscore 01. Follow us there. Like, we got Instagram as well. Kind of the same handle, pretty much.
Yeah, except mine has a dot instead of an underscore.
Yeah.
Trash Queen dot 01 rather than underscore, but Twitter is underscore. I guess I'm funny and I like One Piece a lot. So yeah,
you guys are funny. That's why I brought you on.
I know. I'm like, I guess I'm funny and I like One Piece. Other than that, yeah, we do talk about One Piece on our streams. Obviously none of them are like actually like focused on like, you know, One Piece, but like, we'll bring up like the newest like episode and chapter.
If you want like listen to like a cracked, like One Piece, like thing from us, like check out the first part of our Pirate Warriors 4 stream where like Trash Queen just summarizes the entire like canonical plot of One Piece, like that she read, like, you know, when she caught up.
Oh geez, I get like when I go and like hyper fixate on series, I'll be really annoying and I'll start talking for like hours on end about like something. Like I was playing Chrono Trigger with someone on a like collaboration stream one time, and I summarized the entire plot of Kingdom Hearts while playing Chrono Trigger, and that was definitely the stream of all time.
That's great. All right, and check them out there. Definitely go support them.
Also, wow, and,
what was that?
When we started this stream here, I just shared like there was like 1041 chapters at the time. Like,
wow,
now there's
1120.
11, 20. All right, so go definitely check out Trash Queen and King on their socials. And Austin, I'll let you plug your stuff too, even though you're part of this channel. You also have your own podcast.
Oh yeah, I co-host a podcast with my friend Rootbeer Goddess. It's a podcast on Spotify called What the F Was That?
Huh.
Where we review weird and obscure media, whether they be films or TV shows. And so far, we watched the worst adaptation of the Ninja Turtles to ever exist. Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation, which was the only live-action show based on the series that was produced by Ishaban. And I better stop now, otherwise I go into a tangent rant.
All I'll say is, I have firsthand experience with how much Austin fucking hates that show. He hates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Next Mutation so much. When we let's played Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the game, and we were struggling against the final boss, Gideon, he got so angry that he started yelling about Canada, and all of a sudden it turned into a rant about how much he hates Next Mutation.
Because it was filmed in Vancouver and not New York.
And they kept saying it was New York, even though it was clearly Vancouver.
I mean,
even showed shots of Vancouver landmarks in that show,
and they didn't bother to edit them out. I haven't listened to that episode yet because I'm sometimes the part-time editor for them, but I did not edit that one. And I'm not just saying this as your co-host and friend. I'm seriously looking forward to hearing you just go ballistic on that show again. And Austin is also a member of this channel that's being hosted on here on YouTube, if you're on YouTube, but if you're on Spotify or somewhere else. Austin is also a frequent co-host on Super Bonus Round, my Let's Play channel that I do with him and my other friends. If you're listening to this when it comes out, we're in the middle of Spooky Bones, which is our Halloween events. I think we're currently going through Crow Country and Resident Evil 6. Lord help us.
I'm sorry in advance.
But as this is being recorded in July, so currently we're going through Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. We're almost done. We've been marathoning the Yakuza games since the pandemic started.
Oh, yeah, that is a commitment.
Yeah, but we started like right before the shutdowns happened, and we're finally on Infinite Wealth. What else? Right now, we just started Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess after our fans voted on it. Ooh. Unanimously, way back when.
I'm gonna start that game up once I get done with Warmer Games.
Yeah,
I wanted to wait for a Switch version, but when we didn't get it, I said, fuck it, I'll go find a copy of Too Many Games, and we did. And Rich got me one for my birthday.
Yeah, I was talking about Wii U, my copy. I might just like emulate it on the GameCube just for convenience sake.
Yeah, Austin offered the Wii version. I'm like, but the Wii version is flipped. What else? I also went through Princess Peach Showtime with my girlfriend. I won't say anything else other than Princess Peach Showtime's final boss is better than Mario Odyssey's.
Nice.
Huh.
I am not kidding. It is fucking great. I don't know if it showed up in the episode, but I was like marking out like, this is fucking cool.
Huh.
Like Peach actually got a really fucking great game and a really good final boss.
Good.
Better than Mario Odyssey. I wish I was kidding. What else? And also Austin's going through Persona 3 Reload. Ooh. And I'm guiding him through that without making fun of him somehow. Yeah, he just recently got into the Persona series. He platinum 5, and now I'm a guide with him on Royal with his friend Prince Luffy, and a bunch of other stuff that you can also check out because we have a full Kingdom Hearts playthroughs from years ago. We have the entire Yakuza series, like I mentioned, and also we're going through the Phoenix Wright series, where. Probably the best decision I ever made, because I don't know where the hell he came up with it, but our good buddy Rich, the voice he does for the judge fucking kills me every time I hear it.
Oh God, you guys voice all of it? Oh, those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we voiced the Ace Attorney games, and Rich's character, he came out from the judge where he becomes like a chronic shitter, fucking destroys me. I don't know where it came from, but I don't question it. It's goddamn funny. All right, so I've rambled enough. We've all plugged our stuff, so be sure to check us out. And don't forget, if you want to hear the commentary track, check us out on Patreon. There's a 7-day free trial if you just want to sample it.
Go do it.
Totally fine with me.
Do it.
But until then, thank you guys again so much for listening. Thank you again, Trash Queen and King, for joining us as a guest. We would love to have you back again.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We would definitely be interested in coming back.
Also, if you ever want to be on like one of our streams, you know, right now, I don't know which games like would be interesting to have you on.
We could have him with part of the Yakruzy.
Yakruzy, yeah.
The Yakruzy.
Yeah, if you want to have me on the Yakuza marathon and you need some assistance, I just went through all of them. So, oh, I almost forgot. I also stream too. Mugiwara JM. You can basically find me on Twitch. As of this, my speaking right now, I'm on a Final Fantasy marathon, and right now I'm on 10. When you guys are hearing this, I'm probably on 10 too. I'm going through all the number ones minus 14. 14.
Join 14. Join us.
I will at one point, but I want to go through the numbered games that aren't 200 hours.
Trust me, first. Like it's definitely one that you got to be ready to commit some serious time to. Yeah.
And money.
Oh yeah, that too. I've been on the free trial for like 400 hours though, so.
That's right. The first 400 hours are like a free trial. I will consider it when I have a freer backlog, and also I'm going through the Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. I've never beaten that. I've played it, but I've never like beat it. I got stuck in.
Our Yakuza streams are usually on Tuesdays and Tuesdays or Saturdays.
One
Saturday
two.
Nights, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work in the morning now, so it's really hard to join like a late night stream. But I will try to I will definitely try to show up to at least.
I mean, Saturday we're more flexible because, like, you know, like we're actually pretty much flexible all the time, you know.
Yeah, and also, if I have my mutuals like open to join on the call and when I'm streaming, you're totally welcome to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah. But for now, thank you guys again so much for listening, and join us next in 2 weeks when on episode 49, Austin and I will go through. I need to go look at the chapter numbers because I messed up the order with how I did it. Episode 49, where we start the Jaya arc. We're going to be covering chapters 218 to 222. Until then, I've been John Mugiwara JM.
Ooh, I'm John Peanut.
So you guys talked over each other for a moment there.
Yeah, shit.
Let's redo it.
Redo it.
All right, I'm John Mugiwara JM.
I'm Jad Peanut.
I'm Trash King.
I'm Trash Queen.
And remember, when binging the Devil's Fruit, make sure to take your time and savor it. Unless it tastes like Gaspard, but oh, I hate this bit already. I'm stopping this. Bye-bye, everybody. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for binging the Devil's Fruit with us today. If you'd like to enhance your binging experience even further, for just $3 a month, not only do you get access to episodes 1 week before they go live for the public, you also get exclusive access to our commentary tracks for our One Piece anime movie special reviews on our Patreon. The review episodes themselves will always be free to all listeners, but if you want the commentary tracks, that's patreon.com/superbonusround. Thanks for your support.